Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv?
Arms out to your mum's house. 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 Arms out to your mum's
house. Talk about wheel up and pull again, scene.
This is the third time we've attempted recording this podcast, man. Fucking
sorry,
my internet. Yes, sorry, Akit. My internet has been absolutely terrible. Where am I getting my from? Shepherd's Bush
gets
Market.
His internet from Alibaba, Shepherd's Bush Market.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But those little fucking things that you plug in around your house to apparently boost the internet. That doesn't boost the internet.
Yeah.
None of those shits work. None of those shits work, man.
It's absolutely terrible, man. I'm going to fucking fork out and get stuff. Man. Actually, that's a good segue into saying that we have a Patreon. Yeah? I don't know if you know what Patreon is. Do you know what Patreon is?
I don't even know if you know what Patreon is, bruv.
Yeah.
I own Patreon, bruv.
Okay, cool.
Fucking minute, bruv.
Basically, Patreon is a little thing that you guys listening into this, if you get entertainment from this, if we bring you joy once a week and entertain you and you enjoy what we do, break us off as a little something. And you can buy us at like the equivalent of a beer, or buy us the equivalent of a coffee. The link is below. You can do that and subscribe to our Patreon. Okay,
anyway. Well, you'll get nothing in return.
You get to show us some love. You get mad props from me and Theme. And if we do a comedy skit, we're going to upload it onto the Patreon first so people can check it out there first. But ultimately, you're not going to get anything extra. You're just going to show some love. Now, for real, you're going to show some love because I want to keep this for free. I want people, if you can't afford it, fine. It's cool. Watch it for free. I don't want to make it so that people, you have to pay to see it. No, I don't want that. I want anyone to watch it. But the people that can afford it, chip in a little couple pounds, and you pay for the people that can't afford it. You know what I mean? It's like a system based on how safe you are. You know what I mean? That's it, really. Yeah. But whatever, it's all love. Anyway, Themos, this is the third time we're attempting this fucking episode, yeah? And I'm screwing at you. No, I'm not screwing
Bush
at
market,
you.
Bush market.
Talal is screwing at you, man, because, you know what I mean? Explain yourself, brother.
Talal. Estoy muy, pero muy, muy, muy triste.
Motherfucker. What did you do?
I lost the GoPro, man. I lost the fucking GoPro. I want to big up Maddie Talal because he came around. He said to me, honestly, 500,000 times, don't lose this, don't lose this. This is the battery thing. Don't lose that fucking bit when you plug borrowed, it in. And don't lose that.
You borrowed Talal's GoPro. You borrowed his GoPro, yeah.
And I'm just saying to Talal that Maddie said, don't fucking lose it a million times. And I said, I'm not going to fucking lose it. What the fuck are you talking about? I've had a GoPro before. My GoPro was nicked, so I lost that. That's another thing, yeah. And then, but you know, I was going to take very good care of it. And I was, you know, I'm dreadfully sorry.
Yeah, obviously.
It hurts. And it hurts because I lost the footage as well.
Yeah. That's the worst part.
Fucking hell,
man.
That's the worst part. And it hurts because the mission cost me over £100. I got the fucking eBay today.
No, wait,
I was in the gym.
Theme, wait. Hold on. Let's take it back for a second, yeah? Theme asked me to borrow a GoPro. I don't have a GoPro. Talal. He works, you know, he uses GoPros with his work. He's got two GoPros. And so Theme was like, I'm going to ask Talal to borrow the GoPro. I'm like, yeah, cool, no problem. And you were borrowing it because you're doing a new thing for Chasing Status with your dubstep crew, yeah? You know?
And I just heard that he didn't want to lend it because he thought it would be for a graph mission.
Well, that's what Talal's concerned. That's what the only thing Talal was concerned with. He was like, don't get paint on the lens of the camera. That's all he was worried about. Yeah, just don't get paint on the lens. And I was like, nah, Theme will be good. And if he fucks it up, he'll sort it out, whatever. And I was like, it's cool. And so I go to Themes and I give him you know, all the stuff. And then he goes off on his mission. And the next day I get a text from him going, I'm sorry, bro, man. I'm sorry, man.
No, I phoned you first.
Yeah.
I was waiting for a fucking, I was outside waiting for, I said, I've got to think, I've got to fucking tell him, man. I've got to tell him. And I was waiting for this cleaner and she was late. So I was waiting outside thinking, fucking hell. All right, cool. Well, I'm going to bail him now. But it didn't get through. And when I bailed Talal, it didn't get through as well. And I was like, yes. So I sent you a voice note.
You were very sorry. And the thing is, I was relating it to the other day when we were at Carnival and I spray painted your jacket and I got paint on your jacket. I replaced your jacket. I bought you a fucking new one. I got it right there. I bought you a fucking new one.
That's what I'm talking to Cash about the whole time.
Yeah.
I said, he fucking damaged my fucking birthday jacket on the first day, but he's got me a new one. He's going to be, I'm going to get a new fucking GoPro, bro.
And you did. So respect to you, man. Respect to you.
So I got the GoPro today, yeah?
He replaced
it. And it cost me, they're telling me to pay now. It cost me £103, man. So the mission cost me £103. Lost the footage anyway.
Yeah.
Can't remember. Like,
how did you lose it? How did you lose it? You were using it to film the fucking thing. How did you put it down?
But I was only using it, yeah, for a certain thing for movement. So yeah. Like holding it and doing the movement to the mission. Because that was part of like what they wanted. So that was kind of done. You know what I mean? And I had it in I zipped up my pocket with that Bosch, had to go and climb over this wall. My friend said, do you want to pass that to me? Do you want to pass anything to me? And I was like, no, that's cool. I'm cool. And I looked and I had the camera in my pocket and it was cool. Climbed the wall. And I remember that point because I thought, shit, maybe I should have given it to him because I might you know what I mean? The wall was high. I had to climb it or pull myself up. I might smash the stomach where the pocket was into the fucking wall. So I definitely had it then, man. And we got over the wall and then we left that area, went to our next plot. And that's when we got to the next plot, I'm like, yo, I'm going to do the same thing again. I'll get some footage here as well. Because we had, you know, we got a cameraman.
Yeah.
So I thought, fuck it, I'll do this. And then that's when I said, yo, GoPro?
Was it just you and Cash? Was there someone else there? You don't have to mention them if you don't want to, but...
No. It was just me and him.
Ah, okay. Whoop. Big up Cash.
Yeah, old Bill.
Yeah.
And he helped a lot trying to find it. So then we got to the next spot, which is a completely different part of town. And I said, no, we've got to go back. So we go fucking back. Cash is like, fucking, oh yeah, let's go back.
Shit.
Got our torches out where I'd park the car, looking around at everything, man. And then fucking ransacked the car. Stripped it naked like twice, three times. And I said, yo, maybe when I get back and it's daylight, I'll be able to actually see. Maybe it is in this fucking car. Man.
You lost it, man. But you got
Talal today, being the harsh producer that he is, the big boss of Arms House to Your Mum's House, text me today. Saying, yeah, how are you doing? By the way, the SIM card, they had a SIM card in there of like 64 gigabytes, just so you know, and something else. And I was like, fuck it.
Fuck.
I can't remember what it was. But this one I bought has got boxes and bags full of shit.
It's got all the things, yeah?
It's got different, loads of different shit. And on the photo, it says it's got a SIM card, so it should be all bliss.
No, it's all love, man. At the end of the day, you know, accidents happen, you know, shit happens, it's all good. You were mad stressed. I remember with the voice note you left me, you were just like, oh man, I can't believe it. I fucked up.
Because of the jacket.
Yeah.
That's like, man, I can't believe this timing. Can't believe it.
But
that's never happened to us in our lives. And then suddenly you fuck up something of mine, I fuck up something of yours. But next week, I think it was like the next week or 2 weeks later, I was like, fuck, I can't
but you know what?
It.
You know what's mad? I reckon most people listening right now, they all have a story of when you lend something to someone, like to a good mate or, you know, to whatever. You know, you lend something out in good nature and then something fucked up happens and then, you know, it's what happens after that what causes the problem.
This just reminds me of episode one so much.
Yeah, why?
We're talking about you lending me the gun for like 1 second.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, the BB
gun.
But it's
the consequences.
Yeah, it's the consequences that determine it. You know, because shit happens, you know, shit happens at the end of the day. You know, we go out, we do things, and, you know, at the end of the day, when it comes to lending stuff to people, that's an interesting subject, actually. Lending stuff to people, like, I tend to, if I'm going to lend something to someone,
we're not going to talk about lending people as a fucking subject, bruv. Just to make me feel even worse.
No.
You know what I mean? We're not lending.
No.
I bought the new one, Talal.
Yeah, exactly.
Very sorry.
So it's like...
coming in the post.
For me personally, when I, like, you know, when I lend something to someone, it's usually something that, you know, if... I would never lend something that, if something happened to it, it would fuck my life up. You know what I mean? I wouldn't never even lend it in the first place. You know what I'm saying?
A sensuous, obvious statement. We thank you for that statement. That's an absolutely fantastic piece you've just brought us there.
All right. So
completely irrelevant. Weren't you reading a book when you were...
I was, yeah.
Starting the pod. Oh, you haven't got it with you now?
I don't, man. Sorry, I switched location.
Because your internet fucked up three times.
Yeah.
On the third time.
I was reading my best mate. Book. The new Banksy book, I was reading it. My best mate, Banksy, man, much love to Banksy. Yo.
Intimate friends.
All right, let's play one of your tunes. Let's play one of my tunes
because we're going to play one of my tunes because every time, I never bought this tune back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this tune came out when everyone was a DJ. Like every single one of my mates was a DJ. And they all had it on vinyl. I used to look and think, fuck me, I've got to get this fucking tune.
Yeah.
Hadn't heard it for 85 squillion years.
Mm.
And it came on my Mook Spotify.
Yeah.
And I said, yo, can we take a moment for this fucking tune? Yeah. Back then, I didn't like it. I was like, why no, not? Played out. It's on the radio. It's on this. It's on every it's the most famous fucking tune in the world.
It was huge. Yeah, it was
It brings back such mad memories, yeah, this tune. Of like them sort of house parties with like fucking DJs who brought their own decks and set. I know Luke's coming round. He's gonna set up his decks and his speakers.
Yeah, he's playing hip hop. Like Yeah.
And then as we got older, people got better and shit, and they got names for themselves. And it was so and so is gonna do it. So and so is gonna do it. You thought shit.
There are certain tunes that take you back to a place and time, man. And this
tune was on the radio and that as well. And I was thinking, right, it's quite different to be on the radio with this kind of You know, it's fucking Busta Rhymes, you know what I'm saying? It's Busta Rhymes. But the beat as well, bruv. The beat as well, and like the whole thing about it, it's like, yo, this tune, bruv. If this tune dropped today, it's fucking banging tune.
Big. I love tune. It.
Probably makes me seem well old. But fuck me. But now that I don't hear it ever. I suddenly appreciate it, and I had a little bit of green with like half an hour, perfect timing. I was like, yo, this is fucking
amazing. And this is like, this is peak Busta Rhymes. The tune we're talking about is Woo-Ha by Busta Rhymes, 1996. Got you all in check. This song, like, you know, Busta Rhymes, especially in this time, you know, because he was doing his thing, but he was featuring on a lot of songs. But when he did this album, and this song and the videos, you know, with the woo-ha and the, like the fisheye lens and shit. It was like peak Busta Rhymes, you know, when he was like, kept rah, doing rah.
That, you imagine fucking going home to watch that on the telly. Yeah, you know, but that's never on the fucking music telly and shit like that now.
It was insane.
You don't see any of that kind of shit. There was no internet. There's no nadia to dust home and watch that. But that's the tune. I'd seen it a million times.
Yeah.
I missed it. It's nothing. But still, when someone put it on at a house party, you're like, yo, this is fucking sick.
It was so good.
And I was just hearing the beat today. I was like, oh, that's sick as well. Everything's sick about it.
Oh, man. It's too good, man. Let's just get into it, man. Let's go. Woo-ha, Got You All in Check by Busta Rhymes.
On the way he's going on now, you know he's going to fucking, you know what I mean? He's going to work it. Like, there's no two ways about it.
100%.
And any house party, it suddenly picks up like, yo, yo, yo.
Oh,
Yes, I get wrecking, that's word on my feet. I'm guaranteed to give you what you need.
What I'm blowing everybody
like Junior Reed. Wake up every morning,
like Junior Reed.
Nationwide knockoffs make the world stampede. Yo, Willie, make we roll some weed. Mad charge, nigga, now I must proceed. Yo, we about to make moves, set speed. Beast to make me right, you tip, I think I need. Watch me knock you out like Apollo Creed. Body blows, busting your shit, making you bleed. Just feed more dynamic flows and take heed. Need more information, homeboy, than just weed.
Hey, imagine, bro.
It's all about the pure breed. You need mobile, that's my duty, get my feed. When I step up in the place, then yo, I step correct.
I like the second verse.
Yeah. Everything is done so well on this. It just reminds me of those times, man.
Big time, man. Mean?
Those you times, know, man. All those, everyone goes on about back in the day, but there's so many things to say about back in the day. If you live through those fucking times, look what they're living through now, man. It's weird. We were just living through that, bro. Fucking hell. All I'm picturing there is like the older kids having a car driving past, blasting that kind of music out, man. Everyone's in like their Reebok Classic or their Versace jeans or they've got something, you know what I mean? Everyone's fucking hell, let's go somewhere. Like, man, imagine
so good.
Those kind of tunes coming out of like the fucking.
Yeah.
Man.
Insane, man. And like, and he was just, he was like, you know, just so raggo, man. Busta Rhymes was just on a wave of his own. And that's one guy I've never seen live. That I would love to see live. Have you seen him live?
He is living his best life.
Oh, easy, yeah. Easy.
Have you seen this guy recently, man? He's fucking killing it.
He's hench. You seen how hench he is, man?
He's still doing a lot of music, though. He's fucking Tong posting about how he doesn't give a shit anymore, just loving his loving life.
Oh, you know what I mean?
He's fucking wearing ridiculous cube, like this big.
Yeah. The chain.
And on his wrist as well, man. He looks fucking, he just doesn't give a fuck.
Insane. And he always shows love as well. Like, I see him always, like, showing love to the younger dudes and the older guys. He's always respecting the guys who came before him. And he respects the younger guy. Like the dude is just too cool,
and he
man.
He can rap like a motherfucker. And imagine that coming out the TV?
Yeah.
We're fucking... When did that come out?
1996.
So I was, like, 15, 16. Can you imagine that? Like, yo, this guy doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
This guy's doing what he wants. This guy's all that kind of woo-ha shit. You know what I mean? Like, yo.
Isn't it?
Sick.
Insane. Busta, and there's the big, like, kind of debate people do. Like, you know, during the pandemic, there was that whole versus.
Who would battle Busta?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know if you could ever. Imagine he drops that tune. Because most of the people in those crowds, they're our age. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly. Older, it was all like that one, that New York one was everyone, like Fat Joe and everyone, you know what I mean? But from our sort of era of hip hop, I just don't know if you played Busta Rhymes, played some of his tunes because we've talked about this before, and I was like, no one can beat him.
I mean, there's
what's it called, that thing,
verses,
a verses where you drop your tune behind you and you spit over it and you can cut in and out of it, and he's got all his like backings and all the shit on the fucking record or CD.
Yeah.
And he's cutting it, man. He would fucking... And some of the bangers he would drop. Like, I'm thinking, who could battle him? Like, Eminem. Someone could, like, obviously
Jay-Z,
could battle him.
Jay-Z could, maybe.
Yeah, but Jay-Z would never do it, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. But that's someone that could. And there was also... They were saying Puff Daddy against Jay-Z. But against... Buster.
I guess that's the right.
Yeah. But
every step you take. And Buster Rhymes, you're like, I got you all in shit, bro. Yeah.
Oh, no. I think there was going to do one. I heard something. I doubt it'll happen, but it was going to be Puff Daddy versus fucking, what's his name? The guy from the South.
Man. It can't be Puff Daddy versus anyone.
Man. No. It was going to be. No. It was
so
a good
cash,
one.
You know what I mean?
No, it was going to be a good one. What's his fucking name? I forget his name, man. The guy.
Who was that fat white rapper from the South who made like Bubba Sparks?
No.
Was it him? Yeah.
No, it was.
Do you remember Bubba Sparks?
Of course. Ugly. I remember Bubba Sparks, man.
It was that tune as well. I remember sitting in my dad's living room thinking, I'm playing these sort of tunes. Like, he doesn't know what the fuck is going on. It's Busta Rhymes and Ugly and shit coming out.
That's it. Jermaine Dupri. It was going to be Puff Daddy versus Jermaine Dupri. Jermaine Dupri, it was the head of So Def. Well, you reckon Jermaine Dupri would body bag Puff Daddy? You reckon? I don't know, man. I reckon it'll be close.
Like, what's Puff Daddy's just going to... What's he going to play?
He's going to play all the Bad Boy records from
you
Bad
can't play
Boy
them.
Records.
He doesn't
of course
spit
he can.
On them. It's not a Versus. You know what I mean?
He produced,
there's loads of them he doesn't spit.
He executive produced those albums, man. That's he can play them. Of
but
course
other
he can play
them.
People
are going to rap on the stage.
Doesn't matter about the rappers. He executive
produced them.
Oh, my
God! It doesn't matter about the rappers. This thing is called Versus.
Yeah.
Versus.
Yeah. He was
it's about the rappers.
Those tunes on Bad Boy Records wouldn't have come out if it weren't for Puff Daddy. So he can play
that's
them motherfucking tunes. Yeah, of course it is.
Biggie Smalls would have released tunes if he didn't meet Puff Daddy.
Maybe, but would they have been the same? Would they have hit the
Mace
same?
Mace would have released tunes if he didn't meet like, all of those.
I'm
people.
Just saying they were produced by Puff Daddy. Did he actually make the beat and produce it? No, he executive produced it. So.
So, listen, he's going on. You reckon he'll go on the Verses, and he didn't produce the beat, and he doesn't rap on the song.
No,
and the other person is spitting. What's Puff Daddy's going to do? Like his little gay dance.
Jermaine,
no, there's no way.
Jermaine Dupri, for those that don't know, he's not a rapper or anything as well. He produced a couple tracks here and there, but he executive produced a lot of stuff, like for Criss Cross, for TLC, for. A bunch of stuff, big
body
hits,
bag.
Lots
body
of big
bag.
Hits.
I reckon it's
man.
A body bag.
Well, whatever. Okay, anyway, I'm not going to get into discussion because I really don't give a fucking shit.
TLC, it was hard, man.
Both of those guys can fuck off anyway. I'm not into any of those guys.
You know who doesn't get enough love, yeah?
Who?
Boys to Men. I can't believe I'm saying that.
I love Boys to Men.
Because
I
back in the days, anyone, all the birds used to be like, shut up, you dickhead, we're not listening to that. You know what I mean? And take it out and dash it out the CD player and put our own shit on.
Yeah.
They were always playing Boys to Men. But Boys to Men, man, had
Boys
some
to Men
bangs,
is my
bro.
Jam. That's my jam.
That's your jam.
I love Boys to Men. And not even The End of the Road, like the big song that they're into. I love the song Motown Philly. Motown Philly back again. I love Boys to Men, man. Boys to Men was my shit back in the day.
Can't believe we're talking about Boys to Men on the other side.
Yo, man, Boys to Men.
So that fucking mission. Bruv, that mission was an absolute fucking nightmare, yeah?
Yeah. You lost
even before I lost that, we had to get on near whilst trains because the fucking daylight, bruv, that's the thing about these things, yeah, the daylight. So we have to get on before it's dark. You know what I mean? So at least I can get some movement and shit. And it's fucking like, oh, man.
With the chase and status
this
thing.
Is 42 years old.
Yeah.
Trains are buzzing by. So the people, like the trains are rammed and that. You're thinking, fuck's sake. You know what I mean? Blatantly going to get sick. We had to dust down, you know what I mean, for quite a while. Down the old Trackingtons. Until we got to the spot we were going to, and it's just like, fuck's sake.
But you lost all
the footage.
The
option. You know the brown things on the floor, the sleepers, the brown bits of wood. sometimes I take the option of just running on them, but they're not the right distance for my legs, yeah? But you could sprint away when you run on them, yeah?
Mm.
And they're too close. I'm like, bah, bah, and I buckled my ankle hard. I thought, fuck, I'm completely out of the game. Oh, by the time we get there, it's pitch black and shit. I'm thinking, Cash is looking at me like, mate, we're not getting anything here, man. And we've come all this way and shit.
Shit.
This is on the second plot. The first plot, you know what I mean? We'd already lost the fucking GoPro.
Mm.
So that everything was down.
So and you then, got some footage then. So you got some footage from his camera.
Thanks to him, man. Yeah, we got some footage. And then I had to do something else. And I brought a fucking wicked pen. You know the pen, you know like the insides back in the day, House in City Line with the purple, violet drips.
Yeah.
Fibbins ink or whatever people were using.
Mop.
I found something mad similar, man. Yeah, but it's broken already. I just bought it. It's fucking broken. It's a bingo pen. I didn't realize it's got like some special ending, but it was perfect, man. But I'm telling you, for the first couple of reaches, yeah, it was perfect. Like this liquid, exactly the same purple shit. You know what I mean? And then fucking, I'm like, why the fucking end coming off? It's just meant to be a blotter. So I've brought a fucking bingo blotter, yeah, without even knowing what it is. Like some old grand.
Yeah, you dip it in the ink and then, so you got to walk around with a little bit of ink to dip it into.
No, it's dead now. It's dead. So I've done half of them like that. I'm thinking, fuck. But what Cash has done is come out very, very, very nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And they're happy really with good. It, or you don't know yet? You're waiting to hear
they,
from
them. Well, wait, Cash is messaging me now, like, yo, have you heard from them? I said, no, I haven't heard from them. But the first, like, edit that we think's the first edit went up yesterday onto the, what's it called, Google Drive. So, and I've told them, yo, it's there. And this one is Chasing Status and Headex and RD.
Yeah.
They dropped a little thing from it. I can't what's believe the name I was of the song? RD on the wall, man. Liquor and cigarettes.
Yeah, I've seen that already on their Instagram. They've promoted it. They've already plugged it. Like the, you know, the first little like seeds they're laying out for it. But so your thing will be coming out soon. Hopefully, if they like it, they'll be busting
man,
it out, right?
I hope so, man, because you don't really do these things without consequences. Yeah. You know, well, some of the things we did, I was like, yo, fucking hell.
Innit?
I've got to think about my kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Jesus.
But it's still bliss.
Yeah, of course, man. No doubt.
And it's peas as well. So, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's just the hope that it comes out good and they think it's all right. I'm sure it will. But even if they don't, they just tell us that they edit it and then we do the edits and shit.
Yeah, yeah. Also, guys, stay tuned, man. That'll be coming out soon. You thought Badadan was dope, man. Wait till you see this shit.
But you never, you never thought I'd be putting up RD, man. Like, RD is not a rapper I particularly rate. You know what I mean?
I don't even know the guy. I don't know.
Oh, man. Well, there you go. You know what I mean? So it's he's absolutely massive amongst the kids.
Okay.
Yeah. From England. Into it. From Brighton.
But yo, theme, that Badadan tune, talking about Talal, he was at Boomtown Festival. He went like a couple weeks ago, whatever it was. He told me that tune was on rotation just everywhere he went. He heard that tune, Badadan, Badadan. Everywhere he fucking went. Apparently, that's the tune of the summer, man. Like you said, the video has got, like, the video that you made, it's got over 1 million views already, even though they made a new video.
That's not
it.
Even the video, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're doing that for all, it's like a mixtape, yeah?
Yeah.
And it's called Too Rough, and it's gonna, there's fucking bangers and tunes on it. All decent people on it and shit. I don't know how much I can say. I'm just talking about the ones that have been released. And then all of them, well, the ones they release as singles and that are going to have these kind of promo videos. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Bosh. And then they'll do like a real video as well.
So your mate from Chasing Status, obviously it's two guys and you know Saul, yeah? You go way back with Saul. You're one of them, yeah? What's his interaction like when you're back and forthing with like the original the Badadan?
So backing me, that's the thing, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the they've got like bear managers and bear media and bear head.
Yeah.
There's like different couple of groups on the WhatsApp. Yeah.
No, wait. Because they were signed to a label, then they got out of the contract, and now they're on their own thing. I remember you telling me that.
Yeah.
So they now they've got,
out of their contract.
So they got out of it.
Dropping this thing. So they're dropping like a jungle kind of mixtape.
And know? They've got their own team. So the team around them are people they've allocated. It's not like through a label or through anything like that. Okay, yeah. So continue. Yeah. So boom.
And basically, the key to phones me up. He's like, we need you to do this, we need to do that. I'm like, yo, I can't do it right now. I'm working or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're talking about how much is Chase interacting. And he goes, well, Chase says everything's got to go through you for all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Well, it should. Basically, it should. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, he's on it, man. I send him, he's a mate, isn't it? So I send him, like, this is the idea, this is the plan, this is there. But I also send it to his guys. Most of the time, I send it to the chief, the guys first, and then I just ping him bits and bobs.
No, the reason why I ask is because, like, you know, for example, for me, I make hip hop tunes and whatever. And, you know, you think about, oh, if I reached a certain level, yeah. Like that time when I thought I was being signed by Jimmy Iovine, I thought, oh, yo, I'm with Dr. Dre now, I'm with all them boys.
That's it.
You know, you think to an extent that you're in control and, yeah, I'm going to do everything. But when you're on a level like Chase and Status and there's that much money involved and you know, that much impact you're going to have on just the status quo of what's going on, there's so many elements you don't even think about. Like on our level where we are now, and we think, oh yeah, we're gonna just film a couple of things and put it together and put it out, like what the fuck is a big deal? But when you're on that level, like that's the thing, I don't know, you know what I mean? Because you don't know until you get to that level. That's when you all these factors come into play, you know.
Yeah,
it's just an interesting thing.
I'd say it's a little bit different because this one has like a graph background, so he's just said, well, okay, this is who we're going to use for it, you know what I mean? So he's a little bit more in, like, we just chatting to him, say, pinging him ideas and stuff like that. But yeah. I know what you're saying, man, when you get to that level. So let me tell you something about Chase and fucking Status, sir.
Yeah, go on.
He said to me, yo, we thought we were on a level, like back in the day when you're meeting all these fucking celebs and you're just bursting the scene, yeah?
Yeah.
But like bursting, not like D&B scene, obviously he knew all the heads in there.
Mm.
But then when they started, they make bare tunes.
When they're pop, now. Bare, you know what I mean? They're like,
don't know about.
They had a like top 10 in the charts, like pop.
Yeah, chart. But now they make tunes for like Rihanna.
Yeah, Rihanna. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
So he said, we're in the studio. It's like some sick studio. Thinking, yo,
in man. LA.
No, in London.
Okay.
I can't remember where it was. They told me where it was. I can't remember, but it was sick. It sounded sick. You just order your munch, order your drink. People bring it in, and some high end shit. Yeah. And they're like, "Yo, Rihanna's coming. She wants to like say yo." And they'd already made a couple of tunes where they said like, "Yes, fuck it." And he remembered thinking like, "Yo, we were mixing in fucking uni. You know what I mean? Playing to those sort of raves. Now Rihanna's coming to the.
Man.
We're on a level, man. We're on a level. Anyway." Rihanna comes in like, yo, nice to meet you, Smokey, nice to meet you, and says, yo, we're going to New York for hamburgers. Do you want to come? Just like that.
Oh, shit.
Like, then he realized there's like way more levels.
What,
like,
come to New York? As in we'll fly you to New York?
Yeah, but she was going in a helicopter straight from there to New York or whatever.
From London to New York in a helicopter.
But we're going now, we're going to get cheeseburgers at this place, and that was the thing, that was the reason to go, you know I mean? Cheeseburgers in this place. And he was like, oh, fucking hell, that's decent, you know, but he's thinking shit.
Yeah,
there's always like this next level.
Yo, I've got a tune to play, man, and talk like this is a drum and bass tune that I want to play.
I heard a little bit before, sounded a bit aggy, bro.
It's proper Aggie. This is a drum and bass tune where when you heard this tune, you were screw faced in, whether you were in Bagley's, whether you were at fucking, what was it called in
Barumba,
fucking One Nation, Telepathy, like all them ones. This was a big tune, but this came out in 2000. And the story I have attached is about a club in London. Around about those times, but let's go into it. This is Bad Company, The Nine.
I'm gonna go for a PP, but I still listen.
Yeah, go. This is my fucking jam, man.
It's ridiculously too militant.
Yeah, it's way too militant.
When I look back, yeah, I think before you start your story, sorry to cut in.
Yeah, go.
I love jungle before hip hop, man, because it was way more connected to London for me back then.
Yeah,
but the I can't believe sometimes I look back and think I was into that. I was into that kind of tune. I'm still into it. That is nothing. There's nothing going to come out apart from militants from that tune. That's like horrifically aggressive. Yeah, nah. Nothing but moody, nutter kind of dark side.
You know what
tune.
I used to think? You know what I used to think? Yeah, this.
Can't believe we used to listen to it. Now I'm thinking,
bro, when that tune, like in the year 2000, you know, 99, 2000, 2001, when the drum and bass scene got to that level where this tune came out by Bad Company, yeah. That tune, okay, that was when I was at the height of my, like, dropping pills and shit, yeah? I was doing pills, going out raving, yeah? And you know when you do pills and you, like, you get fully immersed in the vibe, yeah? And when you're in Bagley's or in one of these clubs, Bar Rumba, whatever, and you're sweating out and everyone's just, everyone else is on the vibe. But it was about dancing. It wasn't about, I mean, obviously there was agginess and there was people being aggy, but the music was about like getting fucking busy, you know what I mean? Getting just like, and that song, that and I used to, in my head, I remember vividly.
I just see it as militants.
Yeah, no, but vividly I remembered in my head, I used to visualize the sounds. Yeah, I used to hear the bass lines, but I used to visualize things with it, yeah? And I would visualize like that song, it would be like a monster in a cave, yeah, going woo, and he's sleeping, like snoring, woo, 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 woo. And then someone woke him up and he'd be like, woo. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be visualizing this shit while I was in the rave.
You're absolutely fucking buzzing on those tunes.
Buzzing, yeah, absolutely buzzing, but like going for it, man. I used to love that shit, and that tune was my jam. But the reason why I wanted to play that song was because when that song was big, that was when the famous club Fabric opened up. Now, when Fabric opened, I think it was in the year 2000. It might have been, I think it was in the year 2000.
I went to their birthday the other day.
Yeah?
The other year, last year.
Yeah. And they were threatened to be closed over COVID. I remember they were going to be closed and they stayed open, whatever. I haven't been to that club in a long time, man. It's been many years since I've been there. But when it opened back in the year 2000, when I was 20 years old, 21 years old, I went there every Friday, man. It was what's it called? V Recordings. It was
Bar Rumba was Thursday nights. Do you remember?
Bar Rumba
was
Thursday.
We used to go there and then go Fabric on Friday.
Fabric was on Friday, but I got a story to tell about Fabric. Yeah. Okay. Look, it's in two parts. The first part was my birthday. Yeah. When I turned 20, actually, was it 20 or 21? I can't remember. But anyway, it was on my birthday, was the day it opened. Yeah, it was like my birthday is 23rd of October. But I think the opening of Fabric was on the 28th of October or something. Anyway, so I was planning what to do for my birthday on my 20th birthday. And I looked up and I was like, oh, there's a new club opening. And they're doing V recordings, Andy C, fucking, you know, everyone was playing that night. And there was a big new club in London. Like, it was a meat fridge.
Packing yard.
Yeah, meat packing or whatever. And they converted it into a club. And I remember hearing about it and I was like, cool. And I looked up tickets, they were £20 to get in. So I told all my mates, I was like, everyone buy tickets for the opening of this club. That's going to be my birthday. We all bought tickets and whatever. So boom, we all bought tickets, yeah, and I had my ticket in my hand and we all went to Farringdon Station. I remember.
If you lost that ticket, you weren't getting in.
Exactly. So we all went to Farringdon Station and I remember coming out of the station and there was just bare people, you know what I mean? It was like a big fracas. Oh shit, sorry. There was a big fracas happening, yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, where's the club? And they were like, yeah, it's down the road. And I was like, where's the line for the club? And the line for the club was outside the station, started.
Yeah.
And it was eight people deep. Yeah. It was eight people deep. And the line just went up round the corner. So I was like, okay, let me see where this club is. So I kept walking down, like where the line was. Walking round one corner, round the other corner, round until I got to the entrance of the club. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. And I was asking people in the queue, I was like, have you got tickets? And they were like, yeah, we've all got tickets. Yeah. And I'm like, oh,
I remember those, yeah, man.
Yeah, and I'm like, the queue is back where the station was, and I'm at the entrance of the club, and I'm like, fucking hell, we're not going to get into this fucking club, man. The queue is just like crazy. It's like 4 hours, 5 hours to wait. And so I'm standing there at the front going, shit, man, I'm not going to get into this club. And then all I hear was, yo, Maddie, like that. And I look, and it was my mate Zaid. Yeah, I don't think you know him, but my mate Zaid was at the front of the queue and he was like, yo, Maddie, what's up? And he was behind the barrier thing in the queue. And I was like, yo, and I ran up to him and I was like, yo, what's up? And he was like, yeah, we're getting in. I go, you got tickets? He's like, yeah, I got tickets. And I was like, yo, I'm jumping in with you. And I was like, okay, cool. So boom, I jump into the queue. I jump over the thing and I get nuzzle up next to my mate. And I'm like three people from the front of the queue now.
Yeah.
And all my mates I came with, I was like, yeah, fuck them. I'm getting into this fucking club. I'm like, I'm getting in. I don't care. Like, they can fight for themselves. And then, boom, a couple of minutes later, we're in the club now. I'm in the club. And it's like this with people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the opening night of Fabric.
They have three rooms then or just one?
Three rooms. The whole thing was open. Okay. Room one, room two, room three. And I remember going in, getting searched, going in, and then it being from the moment you stepped in, you're like this, like full of people. And I'm like trying to budge past people. I'm like thinking the queue outside, there was hundreds of people in the queue outside, hundreds and hundreds of people. I'm these like, they're not getting in. It's one in, one out already, you know? Anyway, I'm in now. Yeah. So I'm like rolling through and anyway, so that was the opening night of Fabric. Now the main story I wanted to tell was a couple of weeks later. So we're all going to Fabric, you know what I mean?
Did your mates even get in that night?
Yeah, maybe a couple of them did, a couple of them didn't. I don't
doesn't
know.
Doesn't give a shit.
I don't know what happened, really, because it was just a mayhem, yeah? And but anyway, so we kept going, because every Friday night at Fabric was the drum and bass night. It was True Players, DJ Hype, you know what I mean? All them boys, Andy Steele. It was just like drum and bass. And then in the third room, room three, they'd have hip hop and like, you know, the chill out room thing. Yeah. Anyway, it was a wicked club. Amazing, especially at the beginning. And I used to turn up all the fucking time. Yeah. And I remember the queue would be the main queue if you didn't have tickets. And then there would be the guest list queue next to the main queue. And the guest list queue was obviously shorter than the main queue. And I remember we ended up working out a slick where we would turn up. The main queue would always be like an hour, maybe 2 hours wait. You know, if you turned up there on a Friday night, if you turned up at 9, 10, 11 p.m., you're waiting 2 hours minimum to get in. It was always one in, one out. I forgot
about these kind of queues, man. Yeah. The same at One Nation and stuff. They were fucking horrible. You knew you were going to be queuing up for
It was crazy. We used to turn up to these things with a bottle for the queue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You turn up with a bottle for the queue because you know you're going to be in the queue for at least minimum an hour. And so we did that a couple times until I worked out a little slick where I used to go to the guest list queue because the barrier that separated the queues, it was just like, you know, you lift up the thing, you could open it and dip into the other queue, you know? Like, it was just a matter of lifting it up a little bit and then you could make a little break and you could walk in.
That's called just doing a little whip.
Whoop, whoop. So that's what we worked out. Oh, fuck queuing up for 2 hours. We just go to the guest list queue, make out like we're in a guest list. And then once you're in the middle of the guest list queue, you open up the thing, get into the main queue, close the thing, and then boom, you're at the front of the main queue. So you skip the whole fucking thing. So that's a little slick that we used to work out.
It was brilliant.
And so one time we turned up there once, there was like at least 10, maybe 12 of us. Yeah. And I'm like, yo, fuck, wait in this queue. Let's do the little slick thing. So boom, we all get into the guest list queue and then we open the thing, boop, boop, boop. And we get into the main queue, boop, boop, boop. And we close the thing. And then we wait in the main queue now. We get to the front of the queue. Every one of my mates gets in because I was the one that was going there really frequently. So I was at the back. So I was making sure everyone got in. Everyone got in. Everyone got in. Then it came to me coming in. And the bouncer looked at me and went, nah, you pushed in. You pushed into the queue.
He saw you.
He must have seen or he recognized me from before when I did it or something.
From another time when you pushed in.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know what. And then he was just like, nah, you can't come in. I'm like, bro, you just let all my mates in. I was like, everyone I'm with is in now. And I'm the only one here. I pushed in. And he was like, nah, you can't come in. You pushed in. I start kicking off at him. I'm like, nah, that's fucked up, man. Everyone I'm with, I'm on my own now, man. What the fuck? And he was like, bro, either go queue up again or you're barred. Yeah, that's what the bouncer said to me. He goes, either queue up again or you're done. You're never going to get in here again. And I'm like, ah, for fuck's sake. All right, cool. So then, boom, I walk back, but I don't go to the end of the queue. I walk like halfway through the queue and I start chatting to some people in the middle of the queue and I push in again. Yeah, like halfway, because I'm not going
to go. Don't tell me he sees you again, this fucking guy.
So check this out. Then I make it to the front of the queue 20 minutes later, whatever it is, 25 minutes. It's one in, one out. I'm fucking waiting there. Get to the front again. And the bouncer looks at me. He goes, nah, you pushed in again, bruv. Get out of it.
No.
But wait. Before that happened, sorry, I missed an important detail. So now I'm getting to the front of the queue and I've got two pills on me. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, they're going to recognize me when I get to the front. They're going to recognize that I was the dude that pushed in before and they're going to search me extra hard. That's what I was thinking in my head. And I had these pills on me. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm at the front now. Let me just drop these pills. When I get in, then I'll be good once I'm in. So I dropped them both.
Well, both at the same time.
Yeah. I'm like, I didn't want them to risk finding anything on me and kicking me out.
By the time I get inside, I'll be buzzing.
I'll be good. Yeah, exactly. And I'll be catching up with my mates who have already been in there for half an hour, yeah?
Young lads.
So I get to the front, I pop the pills, I go to the front, and then they look at me and they go, nah, bruv, you pushed in again. Nah, get to the back. And then I go sick on them, yeah? I'm like, nah, fuck you guys. And I pull out, in my pocket, I had like 30 quid or something, yeah? And I pull out the 30 quid, I go, I got 30 quid I want to spend in this shitty club, yeah? And you guys aren't letting me in. Like that,
30 quid.
Yeah. I'm like, pull out
when
my
you're
money.
20 or 19, 30 yeah. quid is loads of money.
Yeah, I'm like, all I want to do is spend this shitty money in this shitty club and you're not letting quid. Me in. Yeah. Because I'm trying to tell them.
Not even letting me in.
Yeah, and I refuse.
30 fucking quid, bro.
Yeah, I refuse to move. I told them I refuse to move, man. I'm like, I'm not going fucking nowhere until you let me in this fucking club. Yeah, I'm like, fucking, I've been waiting out here for fucking ages. I'm getting in this fucking thing one way or another. And the bouncer was like, nah, you ain't getting in. Fuck you. Yeah.
Just kept on saying, dude.
And I was like, I ain't going nowhere. And I was looking at all the other people in the club. I was making a big ruckus. You know what I mean? Like a big noise. I was like, hey, all I want to do is spend my money in this fucking club and they're not letting me in. You know what I mean? I was like, big. Four bouncers had to come and lift me up, literally physically carry me because I didn't want to move.
Hell.
And then they dashed me over the fence bit Yeah,
into like the, in the into, cartoons when they dashed the dashed the people out.
They dashed me over the thing, and they were like, "Nah, oh, you're gone."
Battery.
Of what? What battery?
My laptop.
Oh, plug it in, bro. Good thing you spotted it.
So wait, it just flashed up. It must be low as dick.
Yeah, so boom, they throw me out, yeah? And I'm standing now on the other side of the fence. And I know I've just taken these beans, so I'm just screwing now, yeah? I'm screwing. And now it's it's probably like 1 o'clock in the morning or something now. And I'm just like, and I go to them, I look at the bouncer in the face, and I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here, and I'm going to make your life hell, yeah? I look at the bouncers, I'm like, and I'm looking at everyone in the queue. I'm like, fuck this place. Fuck these guys. I got money here. I'm trying to spend in this club and they're not letting me.
All of a sudden, you're going to be like, I love you guys. This is amazing. This vibe outside.
I'm coming up off these pills and I'm just catching jokes with everyone, just cussing these bouncers, just gunning them. Just going, look at these guys. They're fucking meathead dickheads, man. They don't know how to run a fucking... you know, piss up in a brewery. You know what I mean? I'm just gunning them, like just kicking the fence, like, you know, just being a nuisance. I was like, look, I'm coming up on these pills.
Nuisance.
All my mates are in this club. I'm in fucking Farringdon.
I'm waiting until they come out so I can just piss you off till 5 in the morning.
I'm not even kidding. I was there till like 3 in the morning, maybe 3:30, 4.
Because you were buzzing.
The queue had been done now. Yeah, and I'm still outside, just mad at these fucking bouncers. Yeah, I'm just like really had a craw, you know, like stuck in my craw. I was like, I'm gonna gun these fucking guys. And they're like, now they're like putting away the, you know, the barriers. They're putting them away. Like, you know, they're not letting anyone in anyway. It's like at the end, you know, I think the night finished like 6 in the morning or something. And I'm there like 4 o'clock. Now there's people leaving now to go home. Mm. Shit, and I'm still outside.
You're still out there fuming.
Fuming.
Doing a rant. I love it, Maddie. Doing a rant. You fucking cunts.
I went off on one that night, man. I don't know what I was on. Anyway.
Thinking if my mates are in there, I might as well stay in there and just go fucking millie at these fucking cunts until they come out. I'm on 2 pills in. I'm not going to get the train home and just sit at home.
I was so vexed. Now, one of the bouncers who was putting the barriers away, he looked at me and he was like, yo, man, stop fucking chatting shit and come with me. And I was like, huh? And he was like, come with me. And he took me round the corner. Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, shit.
And if people know, if people remember Fabric, round the corner, if you're looking at Fabric on the right-hand side, the first left that took you up to the station, there was a little sandwich bar there that people used to go in the morning and buy sandwiches, like, you know, when you're on your way home or whatever, like a baguette or whatever. So he took me there into that place. And this bouncer, his name was Jazz. Yeah, Jazz. He introduced himself to me. He was like, listen, man. He was like, listen, I've seen you come here before. I know who you are. I saw what happened tonight. He was like, listen to me, man. Take my number. Yeah. And he goes, next time you come here, call me, yeah? Tell me how many people you're with and I'll let you in without queuing. He goes, I will lift the barrier. I will let you all in. But whoever you're with, get a tenner off each of them and come meet me and give me the money, yeah? He goes, I'll let you all in for free, but you get a tenner off all of them and then just meet me after and give me the money.
Give me the do-re-mi, a nice little earner. It's called a nice little learner. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. I was like, okay, cool, boom. So we exchange numbers, boom, I get his number, bang. Now, next week, I turn up on Friday. I'm with like 6-7 people. I call my man Jazz.
Jazz.
My main man. He comes up. He meets me at the sandwich bar. He gives me little free entry tickets. He gives them to me and all my mates, whoever I'm with. And then boom, we all get in. Like we don't even have to queue in the guest list queue. We just turn up to the front. He lifts up the barrier, lets us all in. All the other bouncers are looking at us weird because that's it. That's another thing he said to me. He goes, listen, I'm going to do this for you. But if any of the other bouncers ask you your relationship with me or if anything like that, just tell them that we're old friends from school. He goes, just tell them that. Don't say anything else. And I'm like, no problem.
That's easy.
And then boom, now I'm turning up at Fabric. All I got to do is walk to the front door, give my man Jazz a nod. And he just opened the barrier, let me in, and whoever I was with, he used to just let us in.
And I would go back, meet him, and give him a tenner.
And then I'd go to all the people I'm with. Once we're in, I'd go to them, look, everyone give me a tenner, boom, boom, boom. So if there's 10 of us.
And you blatantly set it up. You're like, look, guys, yeah, basically, yeah. I know the bouncer.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do? No. I know the bouncer. I know everyone. Listen, when you get in, you've got to meet me. Give me that tenner.
Yeah.
Because I know the fucking bouncer and I'll go back and sort it out. But you're all getting in because of me. Yeah. So exactly. Just listen, man. Exactly. I'm going to sort this whole thing out, man.
That was my connection, man. Jazz.
Yeah, exactly.
Hooked me up. And not only that, I used to turn up.
He's
there.
My main man.
No, theme. I used to turn up there on my J's. Like, it got to a point where I was going there every Friday.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. I used to turn up on my J's, go to the back of the queue. I used to like see a bunch of people go, yo, do you want to wait 2 hours in this queue and pay 12 quid to get in? Because that was how much it cost to get in. I go, look, either you wait 2 hours in this queue and pay 12 quid each, or you all give me a tenner, or you all give me 15 quid each and I'll get you in right now. In 2 minutes, you'll be in. And I used to gather people at the back of the queue. Yeah, like 10 people. And I used to go, you don't have to pay me now. Pay me once we're inside. But just show me that you have the money. And they'd show me, okay, I got the money. I'm like, okay, cool. Come follow me. And I'd take them to the front of the queue, Jazz. I'd give them the nod. He'd let us all in. And then once we're inside, I'd get 15 quid off everyone. And I'd pocket a fiver and I'd give the tenner to Jazz.
Little learner.
I'm just saying, I had mad scheme going. I ended up doing this for like about 2 years. I was going every
blatantly
Friday.
Trying to pick out the random hot birds in the queue.
Yeah, yeah, that you definitely I mean? Happened as well. Yeah, for sure. And
hello, darling. And even I can get you in.
And I remember the other bouncers. They'd all like, you know, they'd see me in the club and I'd be like peeled off my head and I'd be like, you know, raving somewhere and they'd pull me to the side. And they'd be like, hey, how do you know Jazz? Because they all want to get in on the scam. That's the thing. They all wanted the cut. But I'll be like, nah, me and Jazz go way back. Me and Jazz, he knows my mom. Me and Jazz's mom is typical. Like, I'd make up bullshit things. I'd be like, how me and Jazz are just like old school mates. You know what I mean?
He knows my mom.
And I actually got really cool.
Shit.
I actually got really cool with Jazz as well, man. Like, he was a really safe dude. I don't know what happened to him, man. I don't know.
He was there every time you went, yeah? There wasn't any times when you got all these people.
He became.
Said, let me come. And then he's not there.
Jazz became the head bouncer for Fabric. He became the head bouncer.
You see where the scams get you, ladies and gentlemen.
And
see where the scams.
It was like I ran Fabric, man, when I went there. Because any fight I used to, like, I remember once or twice I got into a ruck in.
Yeah, there's
Fabric.
A fight, and you're like, Jazz, yeah, Jazz, over
I'm
there.
Being serious.
Don't like that.
There
Don't
was
like that.
There was one time I bought shots at the bar, and then like all the shots came, and then some random dude, drunk guy, just picked up the shot and did it in front of me, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? He was like, hey, fuck you. And I ended up punching him in the face, and we got into a mad ruck, and then the bouncers came, grabbed us, and they took us to the secret lift, and they had me in a half Nelson, and they had this other guy in a half Nelson in the same lift, and then I looked up and it was Jazz, and he let me go. And he was like, who's this guy? And I was like, fuck this guy, throw him out like that. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, okay, cool. And they let me back in the club and they dashed this guy out.
Do you think I really run things around here?
This is my club, son.
I really run things.
I'm telling you,
here.
from the year 2000 till about 2002, 2003, every Friday I was in fucking Fabric. Just rinsing it
out.
Was
Fabric where the yard was? Was that where people used
near,
to
near, right near. Yeah. And I remember on the way home, we used to go to Farringdon Station. We used to walk off the end of the platform and we used to go into the yard. And we used to sit in the yard and smoke a zoot, wait for the first train, and then get on the first train. We used to do that every time. Not every time, but a bunch of times.
Shit, son. Because there was the magic door, wasn't there, from into Fabric. Wasn't it Fabric?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, but I'm sure there is.
Just
it's
run
all
along
in
the side.
Yeah, it's all.
So if you were paying the yard, someone came, you could run along the side and just, if you knew that door was there, just dump in that door and you're in Fabric.
Yeah, because Fabric is all underground. Yeah, it's all.
Yeah, there was a bunch of reaches over it. Fume put something on there.
Yeah.
DDS, we will never be stopped or something like that.
I never did that link, but we used to just walk off the end of the platform and just sit where all the trains were. And we used to sit there and like just grab rocks and try and scratch on the side of the trains and shit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Wait, so good. Listen, we need to wrap it up because I got to do some work.
Me too.
But I'm wearing a Kobe Bryant vest, and that is because last week we said what was Kobe Bryant's biggest
Yeah, but when's Kobe Bryant's next game? When is he playing next? Sorry.
Anyway, we did that question.
Yeah.
How many points did Kobe Bryant get in his final game? Because we were going to give away the sketch again.
Mm.
But it turns out Fesky's in jail.
Yeah.
So we're going to send him the sketch because we said that's the only reason.
That's the only
reason. We'd send the sketch. Even though he's from West London, he doesn't even exist. He's not even from here. But we're going to send it to him, man. So that's it. So big up everyone who left comments on the video saying...
Big up.
Kobe Bryant got 60 points. Kobe Bryant got 60 points. I even picked a winner from it because I said, yeah, the geezer who said he was the GOAT. Yeah. That's the geezer who's getting it. And, but thank you very much.
But
it's
yeah.
actually going to the original head.
Now, because Fexy, he
got in touch.
The message he sent, he was like, I've never won anything in my life. I'm sorry. I've been off the line.
I've got an illegal phone on my battery. Yeah. I've pulled it out. I'm in the toilet. Just quickly like, yo, send me that shit. I'm out in like 9 months.
So we felt bad. We got to send it to Fexy. So big up Fexy, man. Finally came out the woodwork. Salute Fexy. And thank you everyone else who left a comment on the last
episode. Thank you everyone else. And Talal, I'm very sorry. Talal, I'm very sorry.
Big up.
I'm 103 pounds sorry, Talal.
Yeah. Now, big up theme. For real, you're a real one for you know... You know, you fucked up and you fixed up and then it's all good. You know what I mean? It's no big deal, man. It's all good.
Yeah, too.
But what, I'm going to go out on that tune, the other tune you suggested, yeah?
N.A.R.'s Nas.
Nas. It's a tune called Suspect by Nas. We're going to go off on this tune. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. This is Arms House.
Oh, yeah. Salute. Sorry to jump in. This is Arms House to your mum's house, but this... I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
This is the last day of summer.
Yeah?
In this country, this is it. No, not the last day of like the calendar shit.
Yeah.
But I can smell it in the air. This, the weather, the air is gone.
It's going downhill, you reckon? Okay.
So just saluting here, I reckon next year, next week, it will be completely different.
Yeah, let's see, man. Episode 44, party people. Much love, theme, my brother.
We got writers that keep saying they're coming on, but they always flop at the last second because it's graph.
mean, you motherfucker. Yeah, we'll have him on soon.
What did it feel like when you got PFP? Yeah, I gotta go.
Yo, what up, Dan?
Yo, son, what up? Yo, I just got my hands on this new biscuit. You know what I'm saying? Man. I got to go see something. Yo, walk me over here real fast, yo.
What?
Yo.
What, huh?
What's up, man? You see them niggas right there, man?
Yeah.
I'm saying, man, it's about time, man. Them niggas is shining, everything. You know what I'm saying? Them niggas is getting my money, yo. Them niggas is getting my money, yo. Yo, fuck that, man. We get that nigga, yo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Don't take no more, kid.
Keep it real all night, nigga. Yeah, real, baby.
It
was a murder. Jake just hit the corner, people swarming. 3 a.m, I jumped out my cab like, what fuck. Up? Niggas is buck. Mega bloodshed, the tape's red. I heard some bird whisper, yo, he should've ducked. I puffed a lilla. Just before I hit the scene, for realer. I'm all high, it's late, I'm looking down at the fella. Shit's pushing. Ambulance placed him on some cushion. His mom's had a stay, I wouldn't dare second look when I murk. It hurt kinda, took it as a brief reminder that the streets designed to stop your life clock. The beast of time, you sail to sail, suspect ass nigga, you fail. First time lock, and comp stock, my mind blocks the frail. Bursting, blasting at your 40 cal shell. Split your dry cell, my niggas never snitch, why tell? We roll with no regrets, destinies, 50s inequities, queens would be the death of me. To the suspect, witness, don't come outside. You might get your shit pushed back tonight.
Suspect, witness, don't come outside. You might get your shit pushed back tonight.
Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv?